And you're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Krumrey. Thank you for tuning in. Under a headline describing it as the Alaska Capitol's worst-kept secret, the Alaska Beacon reports that state legislators believe Governor Mike Dunleavy might be offered a job in the new administration of President Donald Trump. Dunleavy's second term is not over until December 2026, but the governor has indicated that he's open to taking a job with Trump. Senate President Gary Stevens, a Republican from Kodiak, said he's been looking for Dunleavy's name to be mentioned as a candidate for various cabinet positions. In October, Dunleavy told reporter Nat Herz that he had not had a conversation with the president-elect about a job, but that he wouldn't rule out the possibility. The governor's office declined an interview request by email on Thursday and said the governor had not had any discussions with Trump about a cabinet position. A spokesperson referred to a Wednesday TV interview in which the governor said, quote, "I'm more than happy to have a discussion with the president about anything, as long as it can move Alaska forward," end quote. If Dunleavy were to leave office, Article 3, Section 2 of the state constitution would kick in automatically, and Lieutenant Governor Nancy Dahlstrom would become governor. The state's adjutant general, Torrence Sachs, is currently the number three position in the state's line of succession. He would become lieutenant governor. Sachs leads the Alaska National Guard and the State Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. There wouldn't be a special election unless Dahlstrom were to also leave office, making Sachs governor. Homer police arrested a man Monday night as a suspect in three shootings at two local health nonprofits over the last month. KBBI's Jamie Deep has more.
Homer Police Chief Mark Robel says officers found and arrested 30-year-old Josiah Kelly of Anchor Point after a second shooting at Catchmack Bay Family Planning Clinic's Administrative and Education Building Monday evening. The building had also been shot at earlier in the day. Catchmack Bay Recovery Connection, an organization that supports people recovering from substance use disorder, also had its building shot at in late October.
Kelly has confessed to us to all three of the shootings. His motive for doing the shootings is basically, he said he did those for religious reasons.
Robel says they believe Kelly acted alone in the shootings. A faith-based crisis pregnancy center in Wasilla was also vandalized last week, but Robel says he doesn't believe the cases are connected. Claudia Haynes, the Family Planning Clinic's CEO, told KBBI after the first shooting that someone fired eight rounds into the clinic on Monday morning.
No one was hurt because it was before the workday began, thankfully, but it's terrifying for staff and volunteers.
Charging documents say Haynes told Homer police after the first shooting that Kelly canceled the clinic's trash service, quote, due to him not agreeing with family planning, end quote. Kelly is listed as the owner of Rubbish Removed and Recycled in Homer, according to state corporate records. The Family Planning Clinic provides reproductive health services across most of the Kenai Peninsula. In addition to wellness checks and pregnancy tests, the clinic also provides gender-affirming care, contraceptives, and testing for sexually transmitted infections. This isn't the first time the organization has been targeted. The Family Planning Clinic's pride flags were also vandalized last year. Haynes says they were already preparing for more attention from the public.
Reproductive health care is a very push-button topic right now, despite its access being a universal right. So we were bracing ourselves for something, but we're so deeply saddened that someone would risk hurting people in order to send this kind of message.
Willie Dunn is the vice president of Catchmack Bay Recovery Connections Board of Directors. He says the shooting caused a lot of fear in the community, but they're moving forward.
This was a setback for sure, but there's a really healthy, vibrant recovery community here, and people not only willing, but really anxious to help folks recover from alcohol and substance use disorders. And so we're really excited to continue moving ahead and developing our facility and developing our programs.
Kelly is currently being held at the Homer Jail. He was arraigned Tuesday morning at the Homer Courthouse. Kelly was charged with multiple counts of misconduct involving weapons and criminal mischief, which are both felonies. His pretrial is set for November 22nd at the Kenai Courthouse. In Homer, I'm Jamie Deep.
And veterans in Petersburg came together yesterday for a parade put on by the school district. Each year, kids thank veterans with signs and cards and music. And each year, a few veterans are honored with handmade quilts. KFSK's Hannah Floor has more.
The streets lined with kids holding hand-drawn signs. Lots of hearts and flags and thank yous. When the cars and trucks briefly pause, some kids dart into the street to pass out thank you cards. Tim Shumway teaches high school English and social studies in Petersburg.
I think it's great that our kids get the opportunity to come and think about the sacrifice that others have been willing to make for them and think about themselves as members of a broader community.
There are fire engines and police trucks, but most of the parade is made up of veterans in their own vehicles. They wave at the kids, smiling and taking the thank you notes. They slowly make their way down the block-long parade route toward where the high school band is playing. At the end of the block, near the band, there's a table of quilts, all patriotic colors and calicos and swirled batiks. The town's quilting guild, the Rain Country Quilters, works on them all year long and then gifts them to local veterans. It's part of a nationwide program called Quilts of Valor. I find Susan Flint helping to hand out the quilts.
It says, Quilts of Valor, in appreciation for all you have sacrificed for our country, please accept this gift with our deepest gratitude.
Diane Benson is sitting shotgun as her husband, a veteran, receives his quilt. She's choked up. She says the parade brings up a lot.
With service, whether it's Vietnam or Iraq or other places, when you have family that serves, the whole family serves. And we forget about that, and it's hard to do something like this sometimes because it really brings back memories, you know.
She says it's good to see the community supporting veterans. Ruth Johnson watches as her dad is wrapped in a quilt. She and her small children and her sister and brother all crowd in for a photo with him.
It just makes me really happy to see people appreciate what he did.
Veteran Ryan Mumby gets emotional as a quilt is draped around his shoulders.
In all reality, I don't deserve this. The guys who aren't here deserve this, but it's an honor, and I really don't have much else I can say without to keep choking up.
But he grins through his tears.
This is huge. This is huge. Made my day. Made my year, really.
He says he's putting the quilt up on his wall the minute he gets home. In Petersburg, I'm Hannah Floor.
And for this week's Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Occoquan and beyond, Master Carver Wayne Price has carved 15 dugout canoes, and he's been instrumental in bringing the art of carving boats back to the Tlingit people. Now he's working on a dugout canoe, or yak, for Gold Belt Heritage Foundation in Juneau. Several carving students and apprentices are working alongside him under a big tent in Lemon Creek, using adzes to chip away at the inside of the dugout. For some of them, it's their first time. Price carved his first canoe about 4 decades ago.
When I first finished that one, we threw it in the water and I paddled from Skagway to Chilkoot. That was in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And how cool is that? You know, that's the first dugout back in the waters in a long, 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 long time. And, you know, I was just young and ignorant and dumb. We just jumped in and took off. And we made it. We happened to make it. But that was the beginning of the bringing dugouts back to our communities where they belong and people have a chance to use it. My name is Wayne G. Price. My Tlingit name is Kajace Yutsiakht. I'm come from the village of Cake, Alaska, on my mom's side, and Klukwan on my dad's side. We have a pretty select crew, and they worked real hard through no matter how windy, tarps blown away, pouring down rain, we kept going. Everything we're doing is a tribute to the ancestral heritage that we're trying to keep alive. And you got to imagine 40 to 60 dugouts in front of each community, all up and down the coast, all made out of a tree. And the Northwest Coast is famous for ocean-going dugouts, and that's a tough, tough pair of shoes to fill. And, you know, because a lot of people can claim to make a dugout, but you also have to make it safe, because your kids are going to be in there, your wife's going to be in there, your husband will be in there. I never had a mentor, and everything I've learned is by repetition, and I'm still learning. You know, this is my 16th dugout, and I'm still learning. I still learn this and that about each individual dugout. So, and that's with my apprentices. They're all going to be next. They're going to be next. When you look for a dugout to be built, you're going to be looking in their direction, and they're going to know. They're going to have all the knowledge that it takes to be able to successfully put a yelk on the water safely. They're learning, and they're learning every step of the way, and I'm very proud of them. They're doing a fantastic job. I look forward to in the future that we could have several yelks in every village again. And what a good time that's going to be. Working on my 16th dugout, 9 of them are still in the water being used today all over in the Yukon and in southeast Alaska. So, and I'm the only one that can say that. There's nothing easy about a dugout. It's hard work. It's hard work making them. It's hard work making them float. It's hard work to keep people safe. It's hard work outfitting them and pulling. All I'm doing is trying to accomplish what's been done for time immemorial. And so I'm just trying to match what has already been done. And I don't know who figured it out first, but I'd like to meet him someday.
That was Master Carver Wayne Price on how he began to carve dugout canoes, or yak. Next week, tune in to hear from his apprentices about what learning the craft means to them. This is KTOO.